All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode. Next season here, right here of the NFL
2025,
yeah, the Blind Side Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and I am blessed to be in the studio with Mr. Joe DiCapito.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? It's been a while, but we're back here, guys. Yeah. 2025. And
it's warm in New York today. Oh my goodness. I'm not wearing a huge sweater and everything.
Right. We had a heat wave in the state of New York. Yeah. But that's not the only thing that heated up, Jim.
Oh, baby.
Let me tell you, free agency has been chaotic, to say the least. It has been insane. It's been wild. And it's everything we were hoping it would turn out to be. We've had signings, and I mean crazy signings. Like, we're talking big numbers for players. We're talking trades, and not just like, oh, they should swap players and everything. No, there's some pretty hefty trades involved as well. It has been nothing less of spectacular, and it's going to continue because as we speak now, there's already been a few other signings for teams, and teams are continuing to build for 2025.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, Joe. And, yeah, I mean, let's get right into it. You know, we're titling this one Fantastic Free Agent Signings, Fails, and Trades. And there's a lot of fantastic signings. Some fails here, we think, in our opinions. And then the trades are just keep on coming. And, Joe, let's talk about first, how about Myles Garrett here? Guys that have come out and said that, hey, listen, I'm demanding a trade. I want out. You know, same thing, DK Metcalf, I want out. But the thing is with Garrett, and you get to talk about, hey, here's the landing spots he's going to, yada, yada, this and that.
Right.
Everybody gets that whirlwind going, hey, and I had a bunch of Eagles fans like, oh, he's coming here, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, okay,
Bills
whatever.
Fans, everybody.
And re-signs with the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that do? And then that's got to obviously tell you that, again, players are like, oh, I want to go win. You know, I want to go play for a championship team. I want that ring. But they, when it comes down deep inside here, they'll settle for the money, I guess, too.
I mean, when you get paid as much as Myles Garrett did, I mean, that would change my mind. Yeah. This is a guy who was blatant, and he told the organization this not too long ago, said, there is no way I re-sign with you guys. I want to be traded. I want to go to a competitive team. Get me out of Cleveland. And then, you know, the front office was like, all right, you know what, they were very steadfast.
Yeah,
they said over and over and over, they are not trading him at all. They're not going to move on from him. And they stuck to their guns, and they ended up working things out. It cost them a hell of a lot of money, the most amount of money for a non-quarterback, but they got it done. They keep Myles Garrett, and they keep their superstar on defense, and, you know, the rest is going to be history. Now, the only issue with all of this is the fact that you gave up so much money to get to keep him there, and you have so much money tied up into, you know, Deshaun Watson and, you know, other players, that now this makes it very hard for them going forward to sign free agents. And that's going to be part of the building blocks to get them back in the winning circle and get them back into that hunt that they weren't far from a few years ago. So what does that do for them now? They lock up their guy, like we said, but at the same time, I think this still kind of hurts them a little bit, not necessarily right this second, but as we get deeper into free agency and they're not being able to add a higher quality, if you will, player for a position of need, they have to go in the draft now. They have to draft, and they have to hit on most of their picks in order to turn this thing around.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing that happened, too, is at least they got Deshaun Watson to kind of restructure his contract here to help out a little bit with that. But then they go all in on Myles Garrett. Mm. So what do they do here? They just recently pulled off the trade here to get Kenny Pickett in the house from the Eagles. Trade away DTR here, Dorian Thompson Robinson, which I think he fits the Philadelphia Eagles system really well, too, in case that Jalen Hurts goes down or something like that. I think Dorian would be okay to fill in if they had to. Dyer, I don't think he's going to blow it up and be like, oh, hey, he's going to do great as a fill-in, you know, to get them a bunch of wins. But they pretty much gave away, they got nothing, nothing for him. So, I mean, it'll be fine for them. But Kenny Pickett, on the other hand, gets a chance now to be a starter with the Cleveland Browns now, at least to this point right now. You talk about potentially now, what does this mean for them in the draft? Do they go quarterback now, you know, and fill this quarterback room? But at least at this point right now, with DTR being out, Kenny Pickett has a shot here. We saw the way that Deshaun Watson was playing, that it's open. It's anybody's game at this point. And Kenny Pickett did well when he was asked upon by the Eagles too, as well. So I think this change would be good for him too, that, you know, kind of year away as a starter, kind of reset, go back to this division here, and potentially with a chip on his shoulder and try and show the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, who he is, who with the Steelers right now, right, making trades and things like that, and not even re-signing Russell Wilson at this point or Justin Fields. Justin Fields goes to the Jets.
So the whole thing with Kenny Pickett here, it's interesting because they just swapped quarterbacks. Kenny Pickett, you're right. Kenny Pickett will get an absolute opportunity to be the starter for Cleveland this year against Deshaun Watson and future addition in the draft, because I still fully expect the Cleveland Browns to take a quarterback. Because let's face it, Kenny Pickett, even though he hasn't been a starter for long with Pittsburgh, and then he gets traded to the Eagles, is a backup at this point. He still will get a chance to earn that job. But I think what the Cleveland Browns are looking to do is they're looking to stack that quarterback position and may the best man win in 2025, whether that be a rookie, whether that be Kenny Pickett, or maybe something else changes. So I think this is a good move by both teams. You know, as far as DTR goes, you know, the Eagles did actually get an additional fifth-round pick for this year, which was kind of nice and what made this kind of trade kind of like be cemented. But DTR is different. DTR is more of a mobile guy.
Right.
We've seen flashes from him in Cleveland where he's made some decent throws, he's made some decent plays, but then was never really given an opportunity to be the starter in Cleveland. And obviously he's going to be sitting behind Jalen Hurts, but he does fit Philadelphia's offensive philosophy better, where you see Jalen Hurts utilizing him in read option plays, and that's what DTR could do extremely well. And then you kind of sprinkle in the quarterback run plays that they call. So I think for both clubs, this is kind of like an even trade. They both win out of this trade, and I'm curious to see what Pickett does in Cleveland, and if and when Dorian gets his shot in Philly, to see what he can do with that offense.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. Okay, some of the big splash signings now here. Let's get right to it. Sam Darnold finds a home after we are all questioning again, where is this guy going to go? What's he going to get? And right now the numbers are out here. He goes to Seattle and he signs a 3-year, $100 million contract here, $33.5 million per year and $55 million guaranteed. He reunites with Clint Kubiak here, who he played with San Francisco here. Mm-hmm. And he's coming off his best year here that he had with the Vikings. So that's the thing with this Sam Darnold thing that always kind of would scare me. If I'm looking for a quarterback right now and I'm a GM,
right?
Is this fool's gold? Because this is it's scary. Because this is his best season that he's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what am I getting in here? How much am I investing in Sam Darnold? So, I mean,
well, you're investing a lot of money.
Now they are, again, because, again, I think when we hear about the Geno Smith trade, we're kind of like, whoa, what's Seattle? What the hell are they doing here? Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, they bring in Sam Darnold to be that starter. And then now the DK Metcalf trade, too, to Pittsburgh. So, I mean, Sam Darnold, how is he going to play? And then also, you don't have Tyler Lockett there anymore because you released him, and now you trade away DK. So now you're left there with Jaxon Smith-Njigba. What are you going to do here for Sam Darnold here to have him bring him success too as well?
Yes.
Before you answer though, Joe, we do have a special guest that's going to be on with us tonight. Scout extraordinaire, I like to call him here. David is going to join us here tonight. We're going to talk about free agency. We're going to talk a little bit too about upcoming draft. Roderick, pleasure to have you back again. It's been like a year since the draft, buddy.
Yeah, it has been too long. I thought I just did that poorly last year where you're like, hey, forget this guy, but it's always good to be on with you guys, hop in here a few minutes late. I was actually doing some pro day and draft prep with a few guys who getting ready to go through the cycle. So, again, it's all football all the time, and it's really, really good to be back with you guys.
Right, that's what I bring it up as. I think you're just always busy. You're like, oh, it's not bothering me. He's crazy. He's always doing some stuff. But I know you're going to fill us in on a bunch of stuff, too. I'm sure because, again, you're out there working with people, with players trying to work out new contracts, but then also these young players and what they should do, you know, what questions they should – how they should answer the questions moving forward from teams and things like that and prep, and which I think is very important here moving into the draft.
Yeah, yeah, no question. Again, it's get every box checked through the process. That's what we want to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Joe, here. Now, I said again, Seattle, they bring in Sam Darnold, but now move on from DK Metcalf. No more Tyler Lockett. What's the plan here for Seattle?
Well, you know what? They really shook the 12th man. I'll tell you that with all these moves that Seattle has done. You know, moving on from Geno Smith, which was a major surprise to Seattle fans. Also, to Raider fans, getting a third round pick, the same third round pick that the Raiders obtained with Davante Adams trade, and now everybody was questioning before Sam Darnold even got there, like, what the hell are they doing? And they move on, like you mentioned, DK Metcalf is gone. They release Tyler Lockett. It's very interesting. They bring in Darnold. Now, what are they really getting in Darnold? Now, let's face it. Last year was a huge success for him, and he's literally capitalizing off of that success, but you're going to a brand new team, different offense. You know, now what are your surrounding weapons going to be like? Is it going to be all from the draft? Are they going to find a few pieces here and there because free agency is still going on? Yeah, so there's a lot of question marks still in Seattle, but Sam Darnold, I think he did such a good job last year. That's really kind of what skyrocketed him up to the top of the heap in free agency. And Seattle had their sights on him once they made the Geno Smith trade. They got their guy now for the long term. Now they have to continue to build around him. Now that's going to be the key because in Minnesota, he already had the surrounding talent. He had one of the best receivers in football to throw to. He had Jordan Addison to throw to, T.J. Hockenson, a tight end. He had a running back in Aaron Jones and a decent offensive line. So he had everything in place. Mm-hmm. Now he's going to a different situation where it's not the same environment. It's not all set just yet, but we'll see what Seattle does in the near future.
Roderick, what do you think about this now with Seattle?
Yeah, again, I trust John Snyder. I'm gonna start with that. I'm a scout. I'm a personnel guy. That's, you know, one of the first tweets I saw post Sam Darnold was somebody questioning, oh, the Seahawks don't know what they're doing. Yeah, I think they've probably done, I don't know, 6-8 months of work on Sam, on Geno. They've gone through all the scenarios. Again, they had a good, confident feeling that they were going to get Sam. Again, there was no meetings at the combine about, you know, Sam and a trade and, you know, all that. Right. Like, again, we all know what the reality of that is, but they were confident they were going to get Sam. They make the Geno move, get some value for him. I don't hate the price tag for, again, I think roughly 33, 34 for a starting NFL quarterback that showed what he did last year. Again, when some of these guys are getting paid 45 to 50 million, you're talking Brock Purdy in the 40s, and I'm getting Sam Darnold for mid 30s. I am absolutely happy with that. Again, you want him to stack it. I think a big part of it too for Sam Darnold is the resolve and the moxie, the growth, the maturity. He's had a rough path, obviously, from the Jets fiasco. He went and, you know, did his Carolina thing, had a year in San Francisco, grown, matured. I think they really like the person with what Coach McDonald is building out there. Again, it's a good building. There are still some good pieces in there, some veteran pieces. Yeah, they still have a lot of questions to answer. But again, that's the great thing is they're still, you know, what are we, 24 hours into free agency here and the draft and summer and preseason. Like, again, they're going to be fine. Is it a reset? Yeah, it's always part of it. Again, we're still, I think everybody in Seattle land is still kind of figuring, you know, trying to figure out Pete Carroll is going to be wearing that Vegas uniform. So again, life changes in the NFL real fast.
Yeah.
Right, and it's funny, it's because people, again, when this all goes down, mm-hmm. we talk about, one, relationships that people have with each other. Where are they going to go this way? You know, hey, this guy knows this guy, he knows this system, what's it going to work? Russell Wilson, we heard about potentially going to the Raiders, too, but now we see Geno Smith over there, ha-ha. But then also at one point, too, you know, when Matthew Stafford might have been dangling out there and been available for a short time, hey, Brady's going to bring him in, and then he don't. So here you are now with Geno going to the Raiders now, and what's their game plan for everything for those guys moving forward? As I think also a lot of Raiders fans were upset with the Raiders and letting Robert Spillane move on, but he signs a better deal here mm-hmm. With another team. But they got a good fill in here, too, that had equal production for a lot less, too. So they're making moves over there for the Raiders, too, as well, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of criticism for the Raiders, like as a team that had one of the highest cap numbers, you know, before the Geno Smith trade happened and the Max Crosby extension. I thought that they were going to make a little bit of a bigger splash, knowing that they have a lot of holes, and not to say that they were going to just blow all their money and just try to sign every free agent they could, mm-hmm. but kind of like you would like to see as a fan base is for your franchises, you want to see them pick up quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of Raider fans were looking towards that, looking towards maybe a Javon Holland, knowing that Trayvon Moehrig is now on his way elsewhere, and thought that they were going to replace certain pieces that they lost with higher end talent, and they didn't see that. So they were very upset. But then what made them happier is the fact that they pulled off this trade for Geno Smith, and they got, now they have a veteran quarterback, which they didn't have an answer at that position in the moment. And you look at this roster, and Geno Smith is coming into not a bare bones roster in terms of offense, halfway decent offensive line. Yes, do they still have holes? Absolutely, especially at guard. They have Trey Tucker, an up and coming, you know, wide receiver talent, a guy who's got burners. You know, they have Jacoby Myers, who's a very solid receiver, very capable. They just need that X receiver. They need the guy on the outside that is that playmaker. I don't know if they're going to be able to find it. Upcoming draft is a possibility, but we'll have to wait and see how that all shakes out. I think they're on a good trajectory so far, and I've seen some pretty kind of under-the-radar signings from them lately. The last, you know, 24 hours, they've grabbed a former linebacker of the Steelers, mm-hmm. and brought him in, who it's kind of eerily similar when they brought in their former linebacker there in Spillane, that he's got kind of the same, you know, look to him, mm-hmm. you know, very good against the run, stopping the run. And then they bring in a couple corners, and who knows, like, we're going to have to wait and see how this all kind of transcends and how this looks as we get closer to the draft. But I don't think they're done by any means. They still have a lot of cap space to utilize. And I think they're a team that's looking to kind of rebuild. And I know they don't want to use that term. They're saying that they're trying to get as competitive as fast as they can, but we'll see how that all shapes out.
Right, right. Roderick, what do you think about the Raiders and what they're doing?
Yeah, again, the anti-Al Davis right now, right? Again, sign every big name you can, regardless of what the history and baggage is. Again, mm-hmm. I don't want to give Tom Brady too much credit, but I think his voice is bringing some equilibrium. You also talk about the new GM, John Spytek. You think about his background in an underrated front office in Tampa Bay that didn't build their thing overnight. Obviously, we all remember the Brady year, but that's been a really competitive roster that, again, now they've all of a sudden, I think, won three NFC Souths in a row with really not many expectations. For the Raiders, they're in a tough division. You've got the Chargers. Obviously, you've got the Chiefs. You've got the Broncos, whether you last year was a blip on the radar. Again, is Bo Nix going to be able to do it again? That's going to be a tough division to win. You're not going to turn around and build a a roster like Houston did, where you can flip it 1 year and all of a sudden be the favorite for the upcoming future. I don't think that's feasible. They're putting together a good, solid 1 through 53 roster. And again, unfortunately, the stars win. The quarterback, again, they've got Max Crosby, got him locked up. Anybody that thought Max was on his way out potentially was crazy. They were no chance they were going to let Max Crosby go. They're building it in a way where you can see, hey, they're not just thinking about this year and next year. Again, it's the rebuild is awful. You're rebuilding every year in the NFL. You're constantly retooling. Yes, you got to get the quarterback right. Geno is a placeholder, no matter whether you like him or not, or how much you like him. He's a placeholder for maybe a young drafted, or wait until the 2026 draft. But they're putting some good pieces in place, and again, thinking about changing that locker room, changing the building, changing the culture, and again, hopefully not losing what Raider Nation is, because it is a unique fan base, and I think there's always going to be that element. But again, the NFL rules have dictated that it changes some, and again, it's you're Vegas now, you're not in Oakland, and again, the NFL's changing. But I like the pieces they're putting in place, and again, being patient and not just going for the home run and swinging and whiffing right now.
All right, Roderick, I'm a Giants fan. All right. It's tough. It's been a tough few years here. I'm sorry. I know. It's like I'm going to AA right now. Hi, I'm Jimmy. I'm a Giants fan. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, I'm sorry. Come hug me, brother. But right now they're active, you know, in free agency. They get Paulson Adebo, which I really like. Javon Holland, like Joe talked about, boom, lock him in for a few years. You know, James Hudson. I also even like Golson, bringing him. You know, why not? Darius Slayton, again, if anyone out there to bring him back, like, I don't get that. I would have fine just say, we just see it later and we can figure out something. But what do you think their game plan is going forward here? Because people, again, I'm hearing the rumors, oh, Russell Wilson there, Aaron Rodgers. Are the Giants still going to attempt to get a quarterback here? But and if they are they still, are they going to go for an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson at this point too as well?
Man, that would surprise me. I think about what Brian Daboll wants. Again, I credit that franchise. Again, I'm always I come from the scouting world. I want patience for everybody, right? They go from a couple of years ago, Daniel Jones wins a playoff game to again, obviously the fiasco that was kind of the last year. To get it back right to where you're all of a sudden a Washington 8-8 competing for a playoff team again. Do they look like they're a ways away now? it doesn't look it. I'm not going to paint a rosy picture. Is Russell or Aaron the answer? I don't think so. I think you are better off either, you know, going back to the draft, grabbing somebody, or again, grabbing one of these kind of tier two free agent quarterbacks that, again, you know is not the future, but can give you some quality snaps and quality starts. Man, it's a tough spot. Again, it's another one. Again, similar to Las Vegas, where, again, sign the good pieces. Sign starters where you can sign starters and don't reach just because you have a missing spot there at the top of the depth chart. Sign starters. Don't overvalue because of need. And, again, build for the future. Again, the Maras, a traditionally pretty conservative group, conservative there in New York. Again, they gave them another year, knowing the outlook of both this draft and for quarterback specifically and free agency. And again, maybe they, again, sold them on a plan, sold them on what their plan was going to be. And again, now it's about going out and executing. And again, sign starters. You're going to, you know, at least have starters at those other spots.
All right. Now say Cleveland, the Titans, you know, say everybody here up front, they all want to go quarterback still. Then the Giants, again, are you satisfied with the Giants? Is there somebody actually that you think that potentially they could grab later on that's a good value pick for them too as well, that maybe will fall in the draft that they could potentially grab as
a quarterback?
Yeah, the quarterback, yes.
Yeah. Again, there's some guys that I like as either developmental guys. The Seth Hennigan kid out of Memphis was a guy that I did work on. I like him. Kyle McCord, again, the growth he showed from his Ohio State time to Syracuse. Again, he is – again, if Brock Purdy can win in the NFL, Kyle McCord can win in the NFL. Again, Kyle McCord's a guy I like. And, again, just the maturity, growth, again, what he dealt with at Ohio State moving on. Again, the makeup of the player, I like a lot about it, that makeup. Again, the sleeper, the outlier, again, a Jalen Milroe. Mm. If Brian Daboll wants to have some fun in an offense, and again, you know, you can go back and draw the connections, a Jalen Milroe all of a sudden becomes a pretty interesting guy where, you know, we're not going to win traditionally. If Brian Daboll and Joe Shane think like, hey, we've got to go in, all in on this year, we're going to do it creatively. We are going to go all in on Jalen Milroe, similar to what the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson, and we're gonna put all our cards in that deck and eggs in that basket and see let it ride. And we live by Jalen, we die mm-hmm. by Jalen. I think that could be a sneaky one where, again, depending on who you believe, you're going to have to grab him up high. Wouldn't be surprised if the Giants did that. But again, depending on the way that first round goes, again, all of a sudden you see him slip down into maybe even the early teens where you can pick up another pick here or there and still get the guy that you kind of want.
Mm-hmm. Joe, I mean, are you surprised if the Giants go and get like an Aaron Rodgers? At least, because for me, I've always talked about it. We did a few weeks ago before mm-hmm. our break. That I'm rather try to get somebody like what you said, Roderick, mid-tier guy kind of, and bring him in. You're getting him on the cheap, and then fight for a spot, whatever. If we don't do well this year, I mean, for me, I think there's a plan. Be patient. Let's try and find that guy, you know, and maybe, you know, this now that you don't have Daniel Jones there and you're not tied to Daniel Jones, set forth your plan. But a lot of people, I think even Joe brought it up a few weeks ago that, well, I don't think these guys have much time, so maybe they do need to get an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell to try and win now, because Mara wants results now. He's tired of the losing already.
Yeah, I think that it's part of the mindset, because, you know, I was surprised that – I shouldn't say super surprised, but, I mean, I guess, like, I was kind of being led astray as far as, like, their tenure and how – comfortable that they might have felt. And then with the owner and you know, with their meeting with them, it didn't sound, from an outside perspective looking in, it didn't sound like there was total confidence in the GM and head coach and or possibly one of them, you know, staying. And the fact that they both stayed, it was almost like they might have had a meeting where they talked some specifics and they talked about a different plan and what they were going to be looking to do for this offseason and going forward into 2025, and came to an agreement like, okay, you'll get one more shot to prove to me, not that you're going to be a win the division or just take over the league by storm in 2025 or anything, but more like, I need to see something. As an owner, I need to see some kind of progression. I need to see something that shows us that, hey, we're in the fight every single week, but even though we might lose more games than win, we were right there, you know, by a one score lead or, you know, or one score loss or something of that nature. And I think that that's all the ownership and the front office are looking at of Joel Shane and you know, Brian Daboll, that they want to see something from them this year. So, and I think if that's the mindset, then they do maybe grab a veteran quarterback and bring him in. Not to say that he's going to put them over the top or anything, but at least he might alleviate the pressure a little bit to where they're in games. They're in every single week. You know, possibly they carve out a win here and there. But just to show the front office, like, hey, you know what? We're going to bring in a veteran here. We're still going to look in the draft. We're still going to draft the future. In our eyes, who that future is still remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. And just like Roderick said, it could be guys like, you know, in that second tier, you know, guys that they can develop, you know. And if you have a veteran quarterback in there that's already going to rock, you know, the helmet there mm-hmm. and run that offense, then – it alleviates the pressure to have to throw the rookie in there and try to make something happen this year to save your jobs, if that's the case, rather than you got the veteran, you got the rookie learning under the veteran, develop him for the following year if he's ready, and then you rock out with that quarterback, and maybe you can keep your jobs going forward.
Mm-hmm. I heard Amani Toomer come out on ESPN and said something like that players, like he's here from people that he talked to, the players are avoiding signing with the Giants because they feel like it's a sinking ship, things like that. Now, Roderick, do you think, is that a thing? Like, if players talk like that and they will just avoid going to a place just because of something like that? Or
not in first year of free agency. Again, the first year of free agency, players are going where the dollars are. Mm-hmm. Again, there may be other reasons, more for veteran, maybe last contract type of guys that maybe they shy away from it. Again, they get that Giants deal and they shop that around. That will be the case. And again, if they get equal money somewhere else, then great. They may get take that other opportunity. But again, there's 32 franchises and they're 32 spots. So again, second tier, third tier free agency, you'll get some more of that where guys like, I just really don't want to go to New York for any number of reasons. But again, as we're sitting here talking in this first tier free agency, guys are going where the dollars are. Yeah. And if the Giants want one of these guys and are willing to pay, they'll end up wearing the New York blue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, one of the other teams in that same division, the Washington Commanders, who Joe really loved Jaden Daniels here. I think he was his number one QB in his draft lineup. Yep. But they overproduced. I mean, I thought they were going to do well, but they overproduced, and they have money, and they have capital, and here they go. They're active in free agency right now, grabbing Deebo Samuels in a trade early on. They get Laremy Tunsil now from the Texans. Really poised now to add to that team to where – again, early on, you look at the offensive line, not very well. The defense not playing for good for, you know, a Dan Quinn defense. Now they're bolstering both sides of the ball, too, as well, looking to make a big push against this Philadelphia Eagles team that really, when we talked about it in the offseason, like, hey, they've got a lot of conversations they need to have to re-sign some of these players, and they really let a lot of guys walk or even traded away. So it's really interesting to see where this division may line up. And, again, crickets over there for Dallas, but the Washington Commanders now very active in free agency, and what should we expect in the draft here?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love the fact that, well, obviously I was with Coach Quinn in Atlanta for a number of years, and again, it was fantastic being at the Combine, and every scout, every executive, everybody that's with that Washington Commanders football team just raved about the cultures that both DQ and Adam Peters have put together, and I think it obviously showed up in their late season stuff, but again, you think about some of the moves they've made, and again, they're, you know, you think, hey, maybe 2027 would have been their year. But again, all of a sudden you're looking at 2026. I think they're going to have a lot of fun come draft time. Obviously, they're going to have to sit and wait for a little bit. But again, if I know Dan Quinn, he's going to be thinking about every one of those pass rushers that's going to, you know, that's going to have a shot to be there in the 20s for him. Again, you live and you love pass rushers. That's also the sweet spot for some of those offensive linemen. Obviously, going and getting Tunsil, again, is huge, because that was my biggest question mark for that Washington roster going into the year was, man, they had a lot of question marks and guys that were going to have to really play above what they had shown for that. And obviously, Jaden Daniels covers a lot of holes with the way he moves around. You hope to take some of that off of him in year two, because again, the playbook's out on Jaden, the playbook's out on Cliff again, to a certain degree. It's another year of film. Teams are going to be more prepared, which means that O-line is going to have to be better as well. So again, we've seen the blueprint for Philly in the trenches in the first and second rounds. Again, I think Washington's going to follow that same, that same playbook. And again, whoever they like best in either one of those spots, I think it ends up being an edge guy for DQ that he grabs there and, puts along with the rest of that pretty good defensive line. You know, obviously losing Jonathan Allen's, tough, a long time Washington guy, loved by that franchise. And I think they'll go draft another one and make him the new face of that defensive line.
It's funny you mentioned pass rushers, Roderick, because breaking news, Joey Bosa just signs a one-year deal with the Buffalo Bills for $12.5 million. Just happened. So, wow. Joey Bosa going to the Buffalo Bills. Now, that's interesting because there was a lot of reports, at least, saying that maybe there might be Nick Bosa and Joey Bosa joining at the hip in San Francisco because they've always wanted to play on the same team together, and that seemed to catch a lot of traction, at least from a lot of people on the outside looking in. But Bosa decides he goes to the East Coast here with the Buffalo Bills, and this is a team where they just gave Gregory Rassard a huge extension. Now they're bringing in Joey Bosa. They get rid of Von Miller is yep. now out in free agency. Roderick, I have to ask you, with Bosa going to Buffalo now, he has production, but, man, has he been injured often. With a contract like this at $12.5 million for 1 year for a pass rusher, you know, going to the Buffalo Bills, is that going to be enough for their defensive line to show up when it matters most?
Yeah, I mean, Joey Bosa is really good. Fun Joey Bosa story. I'm an intern at The Ohio State University when Joey Bosa walks on campus in the summer of 2013, and yours truly sat down and taught him his first Ohio State playbook. So again, one of those feather is in the cap.
Again,
if the NCAA is listening, it was all above board. You know, they don't care anymore. They're worried about people getting played. But no, for Joey being in Buffalo, again, I think it's a really good fit for Coach McDermott. I think about all the rushers that Coach McDermott has gotten a lot of out of, even more out of than Von Miller, obviously a special talent, but again, the Charles Johnsons and all the laundry list of defensive ends that Coach McDermott had in Carolina before he went up to Buffalo. Again, a lot of similar type of molds to what Joey is. And again, Joey probably better than any of those guys that had good years there in Carolina. And again, you can see Buffalo is gearing up again, close after close after close. They're again feeling close again and, you know, wanting to go and get that piece to put, you know, kind of the closing rushes on that outside. And I think it's a good fit, good money. Obviously, the medical had to check out for him, and I'm sure that's going to be something that Buffalo is monitoring and has a good plan for. And again, haven't had a ton of defensive linemen kind of in that mold of Joey. So again, it's a good signing, good player.
Yeah. One other thing I want to mention, now that you talk about like the injury and how teams monitor that, you know, in free agency, there's plenty of guys that are coming right back from an injury, you know, what's the price tag going to look like as they get into that realm of possibly looking for another team, new contract? How often the injury plays a part, but how often does it dictate the price tag of the player depending on position?
Yeah, it's, again, if you're talking wave one, again, that's it's hard because to me, it's more the years that it dictates. Again, you're signing that to a one-year deal because, again, I just don't know. I'm not going to tie a bunch of guaranteed money multiple years to a player like that. That's typically what you see is, hey, we're going to pay you the one-year value that you're worth. We're just not giving it to you over 2 or 3 years. Where that same player, same production, same style, if he's got a clean history, you're probably going to tack on a second, maybe a third to, again, try to kick that and, you know, extend it out a little bit. But again, when you're dealing with injury, that's usually where it becomes, hey, it's a one-year deal. If it all blows up and he's done, again, we can get out of it after this, just the 1 year.
Yeah, I mean, you heard it here first. You know, Joey Bosa definitely needs to thank Roderick, you know, David for helping him along the way.
Yeah, exactly, right?
First playbook. I can always talk about that one, right? Again, there was a handful of guys in the room. He just happened to be one of them. And I was an NFL guy. I wasn't even following recruiting, and I was told, hey, yeah, we got this pretty good player. He needs to know the playbook this summer. I'm like, yeah, what's his name? It's like Joey Bosa. I'm like, okay, like. A few months later, I realized how good Joey was.
Okay. Nice, yeah. Yes. Awesome. Nice. Yeah, and it's funny, too. It's like sometimes when we have, you know, guys like Roderick on here, man, it's easy to turn it into, like, ask him a bunch of questions to pick his brain because he knows so much and he has so much experience. So we're just like, we got to know. And the stories, just like that, too, as well. He's like, he's got to have some stories, like, especially you're helping negotiations with some of these contracts with some of these guys, too, especially back Atlanta and things like that. So, sorry if we do that a bunch of times, yeah. but we definitely like to be great on that.
I love it. Again, it's football. I could talk football all day. I get to get on with you, and my wife doesn't have to sit and listen to me talking about it.
There you go. We'll interact. Well, yes, I was just saying, yeah, all right, honey. All right, now the Los Angeles Rams, let's talk about them real quick. Again, they had that rumor again, Stafford, once people throw it out there, here's all the landing spots, blah, 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 blah. And people had even asked me, and again, people are already salivating, hey, who's going to go here? They're going there. They're already putting the different jerseys over top their face already. I think that's hilarious when they do that, right? And somebody asked me, he says, what do you think Matthew Stafford's going? I'm like, the Rams? Because it was a better fit for them all. They were just taking a look at each other. Let's figure out the money. Let's come back to each other. But now with the recent signing here too with Davante Adams here, what does that mean for like a Cooper Kupp and things like that? And now this offense added on to that. Where are we going with that? And now what is this offense look like? That I think that adds, even though Davante Adams had a little bit of a down year. I think that's just going to add to what Matthew Stafford could do along with Puka Nacua and this Sean McVay offense here.
Yeah. Yeah, Sean McVay, I believe Mike LaFleur, the OC out there, they're going to have a lot of fun. Again, that is one of the things. Sean McVay, as good as anybody in the NFL at putting offense together and getting those pieces to fit together really well too. I mean, that is always one of the things that impressed me talking to people about Sean. It's kind of that Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan tree. It's not about designing plays for players. It's designing really good plays and having good players execute them in any number of ways. And again, Sean's going to have a ton of freedom to do that. He's going to get good matchups on nearly every play. And that's why once the Stafford domino fell, that one made a ton of sense to go ahead and bring Devontae in, because again, they're going to have a good matchup on nearly every play for one of those three, much less, throw it a tight end to Kyren Williams out of the backfield. Again, you've got really good options. And again, it's going to be in the headset from Sean to Matt, but Matt's going to know it. A good veteran. You're going to have a really good, fun offense. It's going to be, I think, really efficient. Again, it may not be the most explosive, may not be real sexy with some of these guys getting down vertical anymore. But again, they're going to move the chains up and down the field. They're going to play complementary football. Again, Les Snead, Sean McVay, they have such a good pulse for the way they want to win football games, complementary football games. It's again, they are among the best in terms of having a full 53 plan to go win every Sunday.
Yeah, and it's funny with that team. It seemed like when they were going all in a few years back, even with Goff, and they were making all these big trades to bring guys in and giving away firsts, and I'm like, oh man, it's coming, it's coming. They're going to pay it all in full for this. And they happen to just have just a big retool quick. Got Stafford, won a chip, and then they're getting back to the playoffs just like that without skipping a beat. People question, the running game, things like that. They've had injuries, which kind of held them back a little bit here. But they've kind of bounced back better, and they are on a better trajectory right now than what the 49ers are, because it looks like the 49ers now – retooling, and I think even Kyle Shanahan and all those guys out there had said that, hey, we've been trying to kind of refocus on getting back to the Super Bowl so many different times and paying contracts and this and this. Now their redemption time is coming and the floodgates have opened. They're just letting guys go. They're releasing veterans that have been here, traded away Debo. So it seems like they're on the downturn, and now here we go, the Los Angeles Rams here to come right back in and vie for this division and be that maybe that NFC team to maybe challenge an Eagles team or whoever comes out of this division or this conference.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to bet against Kyle. I'll be the first to say I don't love Brock Purdy. I think he's a good starting NFL quarterback, but again, he's not Matt Stafford. And again, it seemed like last year for San Francisco, kind of what could go wrong, did in a number of different ways. they have some strong personalities in that locker room that they, I think they used last year to sort out a little bit. Absolutely retooling. Absolutely, the Bills do come pay. Again, with the Rams, again, they had a one-year reset. They absolutely nailed their draft. Jared Verse, Braden Fisk, Bo Limmer. That's a big part of why they were successful this year, because those pieces they hit on. Again, you don't want to say that San Francisco has to have that kind of year. But, again, you think about their first-round draft pick last year. Again, he was recovering from a bullet wound in his chest for part of the year. So, again, San Francisco, when you're going to be consistently good, when you're going to have to replace players that are getting paid, the coaching staff is another huge part of it. You constantly losing good coaches to other opportunities, front office people to other opportunities. Again, it comes down to draft time. You've got to hit on draft picks. You're going to have to rely on some of these, even top three, maybe fourth and fifth, get some production out of them. If they hit on the draft again, all of a sudden, again, you're talking about, again, who's it going to be? You've got a good division with the Rams. You've got Seattle that is going to be competitive again. Arizona is at least competitive with John Gannon and Kyler. And again, all of a sudden, San Francisco's in there, and it's a true four-horse race where 9-10 wins. Everybody beats up on each other. 9 or 10 wins in a tiebreaker may get you to the playoffs and get you a home game.
Yeah, Joe. I mean, Brock Purdy, the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
This is obviously, again, they're freeing up some money to pay him, but what do you pay a guy like this? Because for me, I like Brock Purdy. I mean, you and I think we talked about, hey, how we like him and things like that. But I think a telling sign, and I maybe see it here with what Sam Darnold had, on a great path, winning games, you know, throughout the regular season, but then come playoff time. And I think I saw it in that last Super Bowl where he couldn't take the pressure. And that's when you need to step up. I think that's where greatness is. That's where I think Patrick Mahomes really does well. And that's where it shows that you have your franchise quarterback is in those moments. What do you do to help your team? And he wasn't able to get them out of that with the talent that they have. And that's where I think you find your value in their quarterback. So where I don't know what to pay this guy. Again, everybody wants to say, hey, well, it's got to be the next one up. You hear that all the time, too, in media. Well, you got to pay him. You got to pay him. Well, why? I mean, because – again, where are we going with this? So, Joe, value, Brock Purdy, what are you thinking, man?
Well, so for Brock Purdy, like Roderick just said, like he's not an elite quarterback. He's a solid starting caliber quarterback. He's going to do the necessary things that it's needed to do to move the ball and score points and what have you, and that's all they have been requiring him to do. I think as far as his contract goes, I don't think it's going to be in the upper echelon of what everyone else is making, the highest paid or anything like that, or even close to that. I mean, I could see him – honestly, I really think that Brock Purdy could make anywhere from – and it'll be kind of like a big range for me, but 40 to 50 is kind of like where I see him because, you know, when you look at the market and what Brock Purdy has been able to do for the 49ers, and yeah – you know what? Sprinkle in some bad games, of course. I mean, there's a lot of variables that go into that, too. But I still think he's a very good quarterback for the Niners in that offensive system that they like to use. I think more than not for the 49ers, though, you look at the rest of the roster now. You talked about Deebo Samuel. Gone. He's traded. He's out of there. They're looking to clear money there. They drafted Ricky Parasol last year. Had an unfortunate event. He ends up getting healthier as the season progresses, gets on the football field, shows some flashes, but he's not fully developed yet as a wide receiver in the NFL. Juwan Jennings kind of emerged, you know, last year. So I feel like the Niners, the reason why they moved on from Deebo, because they had ton of confidence in Juwan. They had a ton of confidence in what Ricky Parasol and what his trajectory might look like as we get into 2025. And then the offense, the wide receiving core as a whole is very thin. Very thin right now. Definitely expect them to kind of go into the draft and try to find some more talent there.
Yeah, especially if they do that fall off that trade, but, you know, we're hearing about with the Patriots with Ayuk. Right?
But that's what I was kind of going to get to is that, you know, Brandon Ayuk has been in the headlines lately about, you know, it's not a secret. We all know the Patriots desperately need wide receiver help. So I don't know how much of that is real, but If the Patriots were able to pull that off, you're looking at now this receiving core going from at least they have one playmaker to now it's like you got a couple of guys that can get it done, but they're not seen as, you know, the X guys, the playmaker guys for this team. Look, they're definitely gonna have to build upon that. So like Roderick, I have to say, like, is there any whispers or any kind of truth to maybe Ayuk being on the move, or because he just got an extension last season, or do you think that, you know, maybe this is just all smoke and it's really a irrelevant topic?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one for me. I view it more as smoke. Again, especially if the Patriots are the team out there that they're being connected to, because I don't think Mike Vrabel and Elliott Wolf and that group is going to overpay for a Brandon Ayuk. Brandon's a good player, but he's getting paid a lot of money. You're going to eat a lot of that money. And I think even if you go and supplement in the draft, I think, you know, I fully expect them to get more out of their rookie than they did last year. They're not in a position where, again, I think they have to go fill that need number one. Ayuk is the only answer. I think they're going to be more patient. I think it is a little bit more, little more smoke than anything. I go back and football changes. Again, we both know that people's philosophy evolves. I think about what Kyle, again, in Atlanta talked about with what that receiving core was. And obviously we had Julio, who was a unicorn. But one of the unique things that Kyle used to talk about was is he was putting together that wide receiving core was, again, Julio was a kind of a bonus. Again, I want a good X. I want a Julio. But, again, I don't need a Julio. Ricky Pearsall, I think, may be that guy, may be able to fit that mold. Again, not Julio. I'm not saying Ricky Pearsall.
So right.
That mold. Then you need a Mohamed Sanu. You need a slot. You need, again, a Jawan Jennings. And then one of the things that Kai used to talk about is I want a speed guy. For us, it was Marvin Hall. It was Aldrick Robinson for a while. Again, we want an absolute burner. You can find some of those guys in the draft in any number of spots. So, again, is Kyle, I think, starts to put together that wide receiver core. Again, having the phenom, having a Julio, don't go try to find a Julio. Try to find the X, Y, Z, a W that you want to fit your offense, and that is what everything works. That's when it's going to work for Brock Purdy, too, not dropping back there and truly having to read 3-4 guys. Again, run the West Coast, run the zone, and, again, find the spots where the play dictates you throw the ball. That's going to allow Brock to be his best and allow that offense to be the best under Kyle. Again, if Kyle sticks to what he told us in Atlanta 7-8 years ago, again, it evolves, it changes. Yes, I understand that. But again, that's as I'm looking at that wide receiver core, again, it kind of keeps going back to me that, again, he's kind of changing the mold of kind of getting back to maybe those roots of what he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talking about wide receiving cores here, too, let's go back to that trade now with DK Metcalf there to Pittsburgh. Now alongside with George Pickens here, they move on from Najee Harris. He goes to the Chargers. But I think they're still good with Jaylen Warren there. But still the big question mark, who's the quarterback? Who's throwing to these guys? So what does that mean for these guys and their careers when they wanted out, like DK wanted out? George Pickens complains when he doesn't get the ball. Well, who's throwing to him now? And then now you got DK on the other side. What does that mean for George Pickens? Will George Pickens potentially be on the move, or are they just going to figure it out? Is it going to be, finally, you know, after all these negotiations, are they going to bring Russell Wilson back into the mold? Or, again, Aaron Rodgers back out there? Who do you think might be this guy that they're going to fill in here?
Yeah, I believe Arthur Smith is still the OC, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And again, people weren't all fired up with him in Atlanta in his most recent run. I think Russell Wilson's the guy. Again, knowing what Arthur Smith talked about, what he liked, what he wanted to do, both when he was in Tennessee and had success, ultimately catapulted him, what he talked about in Atlanta. I think Russell Wilson is the guy. I think you bring him back. I think for Mike Tomlin, I think the world of Mike Tomlin, what he's accomplished over his years and the culture that he continues. I believe if Pickens isn't on the move, Mike Tomlin will have his maybe most challenging year keeping those two personalities. If anybody can do it, I think it may be Mike Tomlin. Again, put everything else aside. Pittsburgh is a phenomenal building. They have their expectation. They really set a really good standard. They've got a really good staff over there. But again, Mike's going to have his work cut out for him playing psychologist and, you know, keeping people happy. I think Russell's back there. I think he fits what they want to do. They'll be competitive. He knows how to win. And again, he can stretch it and kind of play a little bit of a veteran presence to both those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Now, Joe, again, what do you think? Do you think, again, this will affect with, George Pickens or anything like that? We saw the antics that he was kind of doing last year or things like that. Do you think this potentially might think that he might be on the move after this too as well? Or just he's,
you know,
once
what?
We find out who it is. Because he complained when Russell Wilson was there getting it. Yeah. Broderick, you're saying, Russell Wilson, hey, you're coming back. And, you know, so what am I doing then? You know, I mean, yeah. You didn't give me the ball before. Now you've got this guy. Who, you know DK, you know what I mean? And it's Russell Wilson, so I'm gone. You know what I mean? If you find that same connection.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that the reason why they brought DK Metcalf in, they knew they needed another wide receiver, and they wanted another playmaking wide receiver. You know, George Pickens, as much as he was aggravated with last season's offense and his involvement in the offense, because that was like the biggest thing coming out of Pittsburgh, and then he made the comment, I don't have a quarterback that can throw to me, and I think that this kind of alleviates a little bit of his attitude, because now that he can see what the organization is doing, like whether Russell, you know, with Russell Wilson there at the helm, he's a solid quarterback, and I feel like a lot of fans seem to forget that he can still play. Even the ones that watch him play, they're like, oh, well, he threw that pick, and they just hone in on the negatives. But the guy is a solid quarterback. He's a decent quarterback in the league still. And now that you pair up DK Metcalf and George Pickens together, you know, George might be looking at himself and be like, oh, man, they went out and got me some help. Now, who's going to be focused on DK Metcalf? You can't just look at George Pickens anymore on Pittsburgh. Now you got to worry about Megatron or the Decepticon that is DK Metcalf on the other side, and you got to worry about him because he's such a dynamic, physically gifted receiver. People are going to be kind of like, all right, well, now what do we do? Who do we double team? You know, yeah, George Pickens is a great 50-50 ball wide receiver. He goes up and gets that thing. So now you got to deal with both of them, and that's got to be showing George that, hey, okay, all right, Russ, you're okay, bro. Like now that we have more than just me out there, I think I'll be all right. I really do think that that's gonna kind of not fix the relationship, but I think it's going to at least kind of smooth it out enough to where Pickens might be thinking, all right, we'll see what happens this year.
Yeah, we'll see. Again, and what's funny is too, it seems like when his mouth was loudest. And that's when the focus is going on you, and that's when he would have the drops, things like that. Like, where was he, you know, playoff time and things like that, too, when you're expecting that, hey, I'm the guy. Well, we're throwing it to you, and you're not making the play. And like you said, that's why maybe they brought in the DK to get that done. Now, talking about one of the former quarterbacks here for that same team, Justin Fields, to where they had to make up that decisions here with him. He finds a home, and it happens to be the New York Jets. This 2-year deal, $40 million. Now, Roderick, with that, with the Jets, I brought that up once the news is going off. It's funny, I'm at work. I'm supposed to be doing the work, which I was still. But then it's like, bring, bring. And I'm like, there's a Jets fan there. I'm like, oh, you just got Justin Fields. And he's like, oh, man, blah, blah, blah. But what do you think about the Justin Fields signing? It's only a 2-year thing, and I think the contract's really good too. But I think with his mobility and what he can show that he can do and what he did even with Pittsburgh so far, with that Aaron Glenn run team now, it seems like he's throwing the hammer down, showing discipline as well. What do you think the ceiling is for the Jets with Justin Fields at the helm?
Yeah, again, Justin, a guy I did a ton of work on as the Midwest scout, again, going through that area, spend a bunch of time at Ohio State when I was with Atlanta, a guy we had a lot of conversation. I like Justin. Justin, again, is one of those guys you're going to have a plan, a specific plan to win with Justin. And again, that Jets roster has some holes. That Jets roster is going to have to – it's not going to be a one-year rebuild. Obviously, Aaron's kind of putting the new culture in there, getting everything established with Darren out from Denver. The one thing that you know Justin's going to help solve is if you got a leaky O-line, he's going to make a lot of – plays out of nothing with his legs. And I think, again, you talk about a two-year deal. It's going to be the bridge to see if, hey, is he going to evolve into a guy we can truly run an offense through, or is he going to keep us competitive like he did in Chicago, like he did at times in Pittsburgh, because he is so dynamic. He can throw it enough from the pocket. He is so dynamic as an athlete. We are going to be able to be competitive. He's tough. He's physical. I don't think there's any question about that. He's a good leader. He's growing in that way. The Jets are going to be able to make the decision. Again, Darren saw what Bo Nix did in Denver. And again, can you kind of emulate that? And obviously there's not another Sean Payton that's going to New York, but again, who can come in and kind of get the most out of Justin Fields? He's going to get that Jets team. He's a good bridge guy to help Aaron establish a culture. Maybe it works out. Maybe he has one, two good years and you decide to keep him around for a while longer. He becomes your cornerstone. If not, you had the right person, the right player in place for these 2 years to help get everything reset. And then Justin moves on to greener grass.
Mm-hmm. Joe, what do you think now with the Jets here? Now they got started fresh. They're done with the Aaron Rodgers experiment. They're like, all right, we're not doing this. We're not doing getting an egotistical, veteran anymore that wants to run the show. Forget that. We're restarting. We're doing this. And I like how even Glenn put the foot down, too. Like, hey, listen, you're doing this or doing this or get out. All right, you're getting out. See ya. Bye. But what do you think so far now with the Jets here, fresh new start?
First of all, I got to commend, Aaron Glenn on his press conference when he first got hired by the Jets. Basically, I'm gonna speak my mind. I'm gonna let everybody know that it's I'm here. I'm the leader. I'm the alpha. And he basically told the media, which is not easy to talk in front of that New York media. Mm-hmm. Basically, just called everybody out. Like, listen, we're gonna make some tough decisions, whether they be right or wrong. We'll see how that all ends up, but they're gonna be my decisions going forward. And if you have a problem with it, you come to me. Like, he was amazing in his presser. But I think that this is the right direction for the Jets, is the coaching staff that they've put together with Aaron Glenn, getting his head coaching opportunity. By bringing in Justin Fields, it's an interesting move and something that I wonder how much it went into their quarterback search of other free agents that might have been available to them, that, maybe it was a destination, like we mentioned before, like maybe it was a destination that maybe some of the quarterbacks that were out there weren't even given it a second thought to go there, mm-hmm. because of the debacle that happened last season and how much of a failure that was. If that would gotten to the mindset of some free agents where they just didn't even want to entertain it, and that's what gave Fields the opportunity to kind of rise above everybody and have that chance to sign with the Jets. But I think this quarterback room is very interesting when you look at it. They got Justin Fields, and Roderick, called out all the points about Fields and how he can mm-hmm. be a good leader for this team, how he's so dynamic with his legs, and he has a strong arm. Like, that's never been a question for him. I wonder if with the new coaching staff and the offense that they're going to implement, how much that's going to help Fields, and beyond Fields, you look at guys like Tyrod Taylor, a veteran that's been around, done that. He showed some success when he was younger and kind of starting with the Buffalo Bills at a time and moved on around the league. So you got a guy there too as well that to me is another interesting part, where if Fields happens to either get hurt or just not playing well enough, they could turn to maybe Tyrod Taylor and to see what he could still bring to the Jets. And then you go into that third position, Jordan Travis, who got injured as a Florida State Seminole quarterback you know, and that's kind of where his stock kind of tanked, and, you know, he got drafted much later in the fifth round in 24. That's a guy that showed promise, has something there. They've been developing him. I'd be curious to see, like, what he can accomplish, and I know it's only preseason, but I'll be curious to see how much he's progressed as a quarterback with the Jets, even though it's a new regime. I'm curious to see how all three of these guys kind of come out, and it quite possibly could be just a open quarterback competition between all three of them, and most likely Fields will come out on top, but it's definitely going to be an interesting offseason for sure.
Yeah. All right, Joe. We know the Cincinnati Bengals again. A lot of people like to call them the cheapinati Bengals, you know. And they, you know, Joe Burrow comes out and says, "Hey, you know, listen, I'm put my foot down. These guys have to resign. This guy.
Yeah.
But which they, you know, they franchise tag T. Higgins. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They bring back Gesicki. You know, they're gonna figure something out with Ja'Marr Chase here. Work that all out. But they're throwing out there, hey, by the way, Trey Hendrickson, why don't you talk to some people and figure out, maybe try to find a trade partner. Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell are they doing? You know, Sam Hubbard now, he's saying he's going out and retiring. You're not going to have somebody like that now. But if you lose Trey Hendrickson to where that defense, he was the only really bright spot on that defense last year at all. What are you going to do with this offense? Yeah, you're so great. You're building, you're bringing that offense. Great. That's great and all. But we saw some of the teams here that were in the playoffs with some of the best offenses go down to these teams that had the defenses all set up. So what's that going to do to you? You know, yes, when you go far into the playoffs, you know, Bengals, if you happen to, but when your offense has to put up 40 points to compete with some of these other higher powered teams that have better defenses. Mm. And meanwhile, you let Trey Hendrickson walk. Like, what the hell are you guys doing? What's the game plan here?
That's what Bengals fans are wondering right now.
They seem to do this all the time. How are you screwing this up?
So, I mean, they knew going into this, like, it's a potential to re-sign all three of them. But here's what the Bengals are having a hard time with is I thought it was going to be a pretty easy contract to kind of nail down with Ja'Marr Chase. And I thought that was going to be like, okay, we'll get that out of the way. We'll get him locked in for the future. T. Higgins, we just tagged, so mm-hmm. that gives us ample time to work on a new deal with him. But now they're running into some issues in terms of finances where Ja'Marr Chase, at least that's what it seems like on the outside, it seems like Ja'Marr Chase wants the moon, you know, wants to be the highest paid guy possibly. And that's where the sticking point is they don't want to make him the highest paid in the league overall, but at the same time, you know that they're not going to let him walk, you know. And T. Higgins, they kind of put him on the back burner a little bit by tagging him because they knew that they still had to get this Chase deal done. So with the hurdles that they're trying to leap over with the Ja'Marr Chase negotiations and then the fact that they know that Higgins, it sounds like he's going to be looking around the 30 average per year mark to keep him, that's a lot of money to invest in just two wide receivers for your team. And then when you get to Trey Hendrickson, who is at least that's what it seems to be like from the organization standpoint, it seems like he's the third level guy that they're going to try to nail down. But now with these tough negotiations and talks that are going on between the two wide receivers, you know, T. Higgins ain't happy. So now they're looking at Trey and they're like, dude, we want to re-sign you, but we're not even 100% sure how much money we're going to have left over. And I feel like that's the problem is that they're getting into a dangerous area that now that they're trying to do this Chase deal and Higgins deal, Trey might be kind of like the one left out. And they're like, well, we don't think that we're going to be able to afford you. So go, you're on the trade block. Feel free to talk to other teams, see what you can get in terms of compensation. And it's also weird because you look at this team that, like you mentioned, Chase and Higgins with Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's said multiple times in the past couple of years, we need to lock in Chase. We need to lock in Higgins. We need to keep Trey here. And J.J. Watt, I saw him, you know, he was like kind of interviewing on the Pat McAfee show, and he had something interesting to say, and I completely agree with it, is the fact that teams need to get on board with signing their guys earlier. Like, don't wait until it's contract year. Don't wait until it gets close to that point. Because if you do, you might run into a tough negotiation. You might have to pay more than you probably anticipated in paying. And then you have the market that keeps getting reset all the time. Mm-hmm. Pay your guys earlier. Now, what's to say if the Bengals did pay Jamar Chase last year? Maybe it's an easier deal. Yeah. Maybe it's not going to cost as much. And then T. Higgins, you can concentrate on him this year and Trey. So it's like, I feel like that's the problem for the Bengals right now, is they can't even get over the first contract yet. And they're not 100% sure if they can afford it when they get to Trey.
Roderick, what do you think, buddy?
Yeah, the Bengals are a tough one because, again, great football people in that building. The problem is there are not enough football people in that building. Again, if you know the scouting landscape of the truly skeleton crew that the Bengals operate with, when it comes to this time, it's almost not surprising to me that it feels like they're playing catch up and that they're behind. Again, if you want, yes, I agree. Yeah, it'd be great to get deals done prior. It always takes two to tango. If you don't think the team is making a call or they're having some preliminary conversations, again, the numbers have to add up and they've got to look at it right. But you bring it fast forward to this year. The Bengals, they just look to me like they are behind. Like, again, to your point, Trey, yeah, like, Trey, we're going to get to you. But, again, we don't have enough people to make everything happen right now to get all of this done. I have confidence in Duke Tobin and that front office that they, again, they have a plan. Now, again, the plan may need to be, you know, sped up a little bit. And that's where, again, the Brown family has got to expand that front office. And again, if you're a Bengal fan out there, again, take some heat off of the coaching staff. And even I would say the front office staff that's there, like, look at the other 31 front offices and even get close. They are operating on such a skeleton crew. And again, all of a sudden you feel like you're behind as a Bengals fan and you don't feel like they're doing anything and not getting anything done. There may be a reason. And again, there's only so many jobs that one guy can do, and they're just a little bit spread thin right now.
Mm-hmm. We got Back to the Stone Ages in the house with us tonight. Do you agree that overloading positions like wideouts, so reliant on the quarterback, sets the Bengals up for another repeat season? Highlight reels are about the best they'll do. So, I mean, that's the thing, though, too. It's like I was bringing up the point, loading up a wideouts, that's good for your offense. But again, defense wins championships. If you point, your team has to consistently kind of put those points back in and outscore. I mean, that's going to stress out your offense a lot, trying to put that position. And they were kind of put in that position this past season.
Yeah.
Where they started to, when that offense sputtered that little bit, they were losing. But then they started to get their legs underneath them and pull out some of those wins at the end and kind of just miss out on the playoffs here, just coming up short. But yeah, when you have to constantly play catch up in that sense too, I think that's going to kill you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very difficult thing. And it's interesting that Roderick brought that up, is the fact that, like, this Bengals front office is a skeleton crew. Like, I wasn't aware of how limited assets they have to get things done, whether it be signing deals or trades. And it's by choice. Okay, well, I agree with Roderick. You guys need to step your game up,
right?
And get some new faces. Maybe hire Roderick David in there, because you know he can help you guys out. You need it. You need it bad. But yeah, so we get it. You know, defense wins championships. That's kind of been the mantra for a while. And the Bengals last year, their problems weren't really offense. You know, like, we look at the defensive side and how there was some holes that just weren't filled yet. And they were struggling from time to time, and people wanted to keep blaming the offense though. It was weird. But the defense, I'll tell you this much, like, they definitely need a lot of help on that side of the ball. And with the limited resources, like Roderick mentioned with the front office, it's like now it kind of makes me kind of rethink about, all right, well, it takes them longer to get things done. And how much of that does that kind of put them behind the eight ball as we're getting closer to the draft? It's about a month away now, you know, and you're still working on contracts right now. Like your biggest players on your team besides Burrow, and you're still trying to hash these deals out. Like how much are you concentrating? I know they do their homework all year round, but you know, at some point you got to, you know, flip that switch and get ready for the draft, get your big board ready. You know, maybe they already have it done. I don't know. But, and that's the thing. It's very difficult. Roderick, I mean, I don't know, man. What do you think about the situation?
Yeah, the Bengals last year were one of those teams that never played complimentary football. When their offense was clicking, their defense struggled. And when their offense struggled, their defense was not playing well either. You think, again, we talked about it with the Rams, again, maybe the best complementary football team, again, fully bought in both sides, fully having a plan. Again, the Bengals did not look, but they looked atrocious early on last year. Again, you got Burrow coming off the injury as injury late. Again, they just never looked like they were completely three-phase ready. I don't want to say ready to go, but clicking in the way that you have to consistently to win football games. It is hard to win football games in the NFL. Mm. They're in, again, the black and blue division, and you've got to show up and play. And again, any lapse from one of those phases, and again, it seemed like more often than not, when two phases were playing well, two phases, you know, again, they were looking good. But again, as soon as the offense was playing bad, the defense was not able to step it up. And so as you think about, again, going back to the question, kind of overloading on the offense, well, if you're going to overload in a position like wide receiver, you've got to score points. You don't have a choice because, again, it's taken away from that defensive side of the ball. So you're happy if you give up 27 a game if you're scoring 35. You just better plan on scoring a bunch of points and playing complimentary football. That's, again, go back to the 2016 Atlanta Falcons. We were a really light, small defense. Matt Ryan put up, again, at that point, it was the historic offensive of the year. That's why Vic Beasley ended up with 16 sacks. Again, we were constantly ahead. We were constantly in nickel and dime defense, rushing the quarterback. That's the way we were built. It was complimentary football, got us all the way to 28-3 before it went sour grapes on us. But again, you've got to play complimentary football. And if you're going to invest on offense, your offense better click.
Yeah. Roderick, and about the Bengals now that me and Jim know that they have basically a skeleton staff on board trying to do all these things. Now, at what point now with these free agent talk or these talks and these contracts with Chase and Higgins and who knows what's going to happen with Trey, at what point in this time of the season do you possibly table talks and then shift gears to the draft?
Yeah, I mean, there's at no point are you tabling talks. Again, as long as a player is a free agent, you're going to have the conversations on them. Where it really shows up is when you're down to, again, really in phase two and phase three, tier two and tier three of free agency, where I think the Bengals are going to have to hit on some of these guys. Again, you get an agent that's ready to make a decision. And again, the decision maker may be out at a pro day. The decision maker may be sitting down with a prospect because, again, Duke Tobin does everything. Duke Tobin is maybe the busiest man that I've ever seen in NFL front offices. And again, if you've got to get the decision maker, you may not be able to get him for an hour and your clients want to sign. And again, we may, hey, all right, we're just going here because we're going to make the decision. Again, the Bengals, like Duke and that front office staff, do everything they can. There's some really good people in that front office that do a ton, do two jobs. And again, they're setting their board, they're getting everything set. Again, they're just working more hours and, you know, burning the candle at both ends. And again, I would expect at least a time or two with free agency where it does catch up to them. And, again, maybe you lose one.
Yeah, it's definitely tougher when you have to try and balance it all at the same time and do all that.
I'm still going to campaign for the Bengals to hire Roderick because they need him.
Why not? I don't know.
It's some really good people there.
There you go. William Del Pilar is in the house with us tonight. Oh, there he is. The man, the myth, the legend. He says, Roderick, what should they focus on in the draft, D or O-line? Isn't the league one of the attrition? If the starters can't stay healthy, then without depth, how can they win? So what's their strategy going into the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I am a best player available guy. Again, there's going to be really good players at that O-line and D-line position there, for the Bengals as they're sitting there looking at the board. You can't go wrong. If you draft a starter on either one of those lines, yes, you'd love a big impact guy. What are they drafting? 16, 17, somewhere in there in the teens, late teens, I think, with where they ended up.
17. They're 17. Drafting 17.
They could end up with maybe the top offensive tackle still on the board there. If it's the Ursary kid, if it's a Josh Simmons up the road at Ohio State coming off the injury, or again, a Walter Nolan, a Shamar Turner, again, one of these highly productive defensive linemen that's going to come in and make an impact. Again, maybe that's affecting what they're thinking with Trey Hendrickson. Again, I fully expect it to be somewhere on the trenches. Again, you look at your draft board, you look at that big grade up there. Again, who do we like more? Who do we think is going to be a Bengal for a long time to come and be, again, whether you look at it from a scouting standpoint, the face of this franchise, but a guy that we're going to expect to see in the Pro Bowl making big plays for us.
Yeah. Again, it's one in the trenches. That's what we hear all the time. You got to do it. And they've been trying to figure this out for a while on O-line, D-line for a bit, and they just can't seem to do it.
And they took a shot last year. You know, in the first round, they got Amarius Mims from Georgia, monster of a human being. But, Roderick, I'm curious about this. Is if you invest, let's just say, like for the Bengals example, like they drafted tackle in the first round last year, Marius Mims, is it possible that like you've seen enough from him in his very early development to where you like, oh, you know what, maybe we should grab another tackle just in case he doesn't pan out?
Yeah, no, if they're investing, who's the left tackle? I would have to look at their
Orlando Brown Jr.
So again, you've got a lot of options with. There's always going to be the thinking. Marius Mims is a unique case. Again, a really unique player. From a trait standpoint, he was by far, there was a gap between him and the next best offensive lineman last year. Amarius had a lot of stuff to work through. And again, as you start to see it, again, the sign will probably be there. Again, does he go the way of Mekhi Becton, kick him into guard? And now, man, you've got a mammoth beast of a guard. You're really locking down that offensive line. The Philadelphia Eagles sure made it work. And again, you think about what, hey, let's protect Joe Burrow. That's not a bad way to go if you want to go on the tackle side. If that tackle grade is really that high up there, again, all of a sudden you like one of these young guys. And again, you can turn around and be like, all right, forget the O-line. Let's just go with that best D lineman. And again, there's going to be a guy there that, again, if you have to fudge your grade a little bit so you can say, oh, we have the same grade on them, again, every front office is going to do that a little bit to make sure they have those grades, you know, sort out the way they want for the owner's sake as he's sitting in the room and making sure you guys are doing the right work.
I was curious, Roderick, you know, you mentioned grades for players, you know, when everybody builds their boards, what is – like, what kind of grade metric do they use? Do they do check marks for next to a player's name? Do they do stars? Do they do numbers?
Lots of again, there's going to be a number of different marks. There's going to be obviously letter grades, round grades. You're going to have medical grades, character grades. A card is going to be a nice, colorful rainbow that looks like there's hieroglyphics and all sorts of stuff on it. And again, every team, again, you may add individual tags depending on the year, depending on guys you like. There's probably going to be a little Bengal logo for guys that's a Bengal guy. Again, almost every team does that. And again, you're going to put your little markers on there as you continue to stack them to help sort out stacks. To filter through, hey, these guys have the same grades. We like them in this order for this reason. We're going to tag them in that way. Special teams, third down value, any number of different tags. And again, you pick up a card and it just looks like there's a bunch of, you know, your kid got a hold of your emojis on your phone and, you know, typed them all over the card.
Excellent.
Hey, when it comes to Joe Shane, maybe he should have taken his kid's advice, you know, when it comes graphing too as well, right? You saw some of that.
Yeah, some rough video from Hard Knocks there.
Right. We got back to the Stone Age again with us. He's got a question about the Bengals. And he said, I read that the Bengals only used a scout service before Marvin Lewis era. As a scout, Roderick, what are your thoughts on a team having done that?
Yeah, scouting service. Again, your two big scouting services, NFS, National Football Scouting, who runs the Combine, as well as Blesto. Again, I believe the Bengals are a part of one of those. Again, that is how they – I would almost say they have to be a part of one of those now. They just do not have the bandwidth to get everywhere and get the information. Again, as I cut my teeth in Atlanta, we were not a part of either of the services. Under my last year, 2020, with Thomas Dimitroff in Atlanta, we joined Blesto. Atlanta's still now a Blesto team. There is a lot of value in it. It can absolutely create some laziness for scouts as well. Mm-hmm. Again, for the way the Bengals operate, I don't think there's any way they would operate without it. I think they are a part of one of the services now. It is definitely a nice parachute. You pay for it. NFL teams have plenty of money. It's not anything that they have to balk at, and can be of great value, especially for the Bengals.
Absolutely, absolutely. Before we're going to talk a little draft in just a little bit. But before we do, again, being a Giants fan, Daniel Jones going to the Vikings again as a backup, whatever stuff. But now he finds a new home here with Steichen and the Colts. So now for me, I kind of look at this as like, cause the Colts have always kind of been trying to bring in like a veteran, and then they drafted Anthony Richardson, but you've got injury things. He wasn't playing well, but it seemed like after he was benched last year, came back with a whole different view of things or something, looked like a different dude. But with this move now, I'm questioning whether they think that he's going to stay healthy, or they're still uncertain of what they have here in the quarterback room with Richardson. Like, they're not completely sold yet by bringing Daniel Jones in. What's your take on this and this move for the Colts?
I think this is a backup quarterback signing who's got a really good mind and can win a game or two for him. I think they are still all in on Anthony Richardson. I think they like him. The reset was good for him. I think that was one of the really good signs, is how Anthony Richardson handled that benching and came back. Yeah. Again, if they needed to see that sign, I certainly think he showed them. Again, he proved why they drafted him where they did. Again, I think it's good money. You've got Anthony Richardson on a rookie quarterback contract, and now you've got low money. You've got really low money invested in your quarterback room there, which again means you've got more money to spend elsewhere. But you've got a guy that has won in the NFL, that is a high IQ, smart football guy, that is going to, if nothing else, challenge Anthony to make sure he's on his P's and Q's in the room with his playbook and everything as he continues to develop. And again, Daniel Jones looks good here or there. Again, all of a sudden you flip him for a pick, because again, the money is good for a backup quarterback, and somebody may turn around and give you something for him at some point.
All right, draft coming up. We talked about early on before you got on with us the trade with the Eagles and the Cleveland Browns, to where the Browns now acquire Kenny Pickett in just like a quarterback swap with an additional fifth. So that tells me, again, for the Browns, that Deshaun Watson, he hasn't been playing at all to his potential at all, constantly injured. And even when he's out there, doesn't look very good. They've bounced around between a couple of different quarterbacks too. Now it seems to me like Kenny Pickett can be, challenging for that starting position. But Joe thinks even potentially that the Cleveland Browns could still be in on a quarterback in the draft. Now, looking at the draft board the way it is, do you see Cleveland even doing that? Or you think Kenny Pickett is going to challenge that? And if so, do they go quarterback? And then the first couple here getting to the Giants, do you think it's all quarterback going down the field? Or what do you expect for the first couple of picks?
No, I think the Browns are in the market for a quarterback. Again, Kenny Pickett is a backup quarterback. Again, he's a stopgap. He's a guy that you like. Again, you like the person. You like the makeup. Kenny Pickett's just like he was kind of a Pittsburgh guy. Again, he's a kind of a Cleveland guy. He can win there. Obviously, he's shown that. I think Cleveland will absolutely be in the market for a quarterback. The question I have is I think quarterbacks go two of the top three, and I think that's about where it stops. Again, if you're the Browns and you're sitting there too, do you have conviction on those top two, on Shador or on Cam? If so, again, if you have conviction on both, you get your guy at number two and you're happy. Mm-hmm. If you only have conviction on one of the guys, maybe you sit there again. Pull the card on Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, and again, you can be really happy. Or, you know, you find out how much somebody at 5, 6, 7 really likes one of those guys and what they want to give you. And again, Cleveland's not in a situation where they are, one player at the top of the draft. You could, you know, easily see him stockpiling some picks, moving down just a couple at a time and getting the Myles Garrett. Again, how scary would a Myles Garrett, Abdul Carter combination be? Again, really, really fun combination. But again, I have to imagine Cleveland is doing their work on the quarterbacks and is going to be thinking about one of those two guys.
All right. So you brought up Shador and you brought up Ward. Now, I guess with you, Scout, looking at these guys, everybody's saying, hey, you like this guy, you like this guy. I'm going to ask you right now, too, your analysis of these two players and who you would like.
Yeah, both guys, really good players. Both guys dynamic, can win in the pocket, out of the pocket. They can make every throw. Very different personalities, obviously very different personalities. Shadir, he is going to be really good in front of the media. He's going to enjoy being in front of the media. He's going to tell it like it is. If that's what you want, again, he's your guy, and, you know, good luck, go out fun on Cam. A little bit more of a quieter personality. Again, both these guys have the talent to be first-round quarterbacks, and that is where being on the outside without spending all the time on the back end with the doing the work, finding out what the mental makeup is, finding out what coaches are saying. I'm not doing that. I don't have the bandwidth to do that. I'm not going to get the straight answers from the colleges anyway. Again, all the signs from both places, Miami and Colorado, outstanding kids, learned the playbook really good. They all seemed buttoned up. Again, either of these guys, it's 1A, 1B for me. Both these guys could be up there. Again, it just really comes down for me at the end of the day, kind of the personality. Which personality do you want? And again, I think there's good reasons for either. And if you're Cleveland, again, it's a quarterback graveyard up there, as it seems to be. So again, you may need a certain kind of guy, and which guy is going to fit that better. And again, Tennessee, if you're in that Tennessee boat too, it kind of same type of deal.
Now, you've heard multiple times, you know, out there in the media too, with Shador saying, and you know, Deion, hey, he's not playing for any losers. He's not going here. I'm not going there. Now, if he ends up being drafted early to one of these teams and says, you know, I don't want – do you see him potentially saying, you know, I'm not playing? And then they pull off a trade somewhere? No. Okay. Because we have seen, you know, things like that where Eli and with the real Rivers and type of deal. But you think he's just going to go where he goes?
I think he goes where he goes and he's happy. Again, that's good luck doing it. I think he'll be happy to go play in the NFL.
All right, there we go. We've got Roderick David with us, Right Step Advising. Roderick, why don't you promote your company and then also the website. Tell people what you do. And then, hey, are you working with anybody right now? Can you spill the beans on some of this stuff?
Yeah, man. My website, rsafootball.com. Big things I want to talk about, scouting the league, podcast. We're up on YouTube, Apple Podcasts. Tomorrow's episode, Wednesday episode, John Robinson, former GM of the Tennessee Titans. He was on with us. Really fun conversation. We talk, again, a lot of philosophy stuff. If you love football, if you like talking the process, scouting, front office,
going through it again. It's an hour, a little over an hour of a lot of fun. Me, Neil Stratton, and John Robinson just sitting down and talking ball. And it's, again, just go search Scouting the League. You can, like I said, find it on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that kind of stuff. And then again, yeah, I'm doing a little bit of everything. Since my official scouting days with the Falcons ended, again, I work primarily with agents across the NFL. I'm doing transfer portal work. I'm doing a lot of draft prep, getting guys ready for pro days, got guys ready for the combine, got guys ready for all-star games. Again, try to give them all the answers to the test. That way they get it there. They can really feel good about what they did. Again, I worked with, I won't say who it was, defensive lineman that was the combine, one of the more impressive, kind of under the radar guys, really helped himself out. Again, always love hearing the feedback, love getting to know the guys. And again, already starting to think about top list for 2026. And again, with the way I do portal reports now, I'm already getting a feel for 2027 and beyond for some of these young guys that are getting paid out there, which is wild to think about. Again, you have to kind of reset the brain when you're thinking, when you're doing a transfer portal report. But again, it's all, you know, traits play at no matter what level. And you just have to kind of reset and kind of put on your coaching hat a little bit to see, again, what kind of coach at the NCAA level is going to want to work with this guy. So, RSAfootball.com. I'm at RightStepADV on Twitter. That's where all the stuff's going to be out. And then definitely look up Scouting the League.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much.
We're definitely going to tune into that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We got to tune in, and we're going to have you on again come draft time. I don't know if we're going to do a draft night special again. William hasn't chewed it up to us at all, but Roderick, we'd love to have you back around that time.
Yeah, real quick, Roderick, would you be open to doing a mock draft?
Well, I would love to do a mock draft. I don't do fantasy. Man, mock drafts. I have my issue with the 3,800 mock drafts that everybody puts out on Twitter this time of year for fun. Yep. You will not see me put out an official mock draft of my own, of my company. Okay. I will absolutely do it. Again, they're fun exercises. They are absolutely.
Yeah.
And again, as you guys can imagine, I'm probably going to think about it a little differently than maybe some people out there. But, again, I will absolutely do one and enjoy it. Tell William to get me back on and get me keyed up for you guys. Always happy to be on.
It's been a pleasure, Roderick. It always is. And I remember like when we were covering the draft and we had you on the show, it was live. The vibes were high. We had a phenomenal time and, can't wait to do it again, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
I see it.